anybody to comment. Like, that alone is mind-blowing. And over the hundreds and hundreds of comments on the first day, 98% of those comments were positive. This made, to me, and I can't speak for anybody else, this made FedEx, to me, look better than they did before the screw-up. Think about that line for 1 second. They made themselves look better than they did before the screw-up, because they were in my front of mind, and they made it right. That's the difference. When it hits the fan, it's not time to hide behind the fan. It's time to be awesome. You can't change the fact you're in the spotlight now. You can't change the response. As long as you do it quickly. PR to me now is about response time and authenticity. How quickly. We don't have 4 days to come up with a press release. We don't have a week to talk to our board. We need to react. We need to react properly and well, okay? Here's a last example I want to give you guys. Here's a tweet from Men's Humor. It says, this morning I gave birth to a food baby, and I think Taco Bell is the father. That's amazing. And then Taco Bell replies, I want a DNA test. Thank you so much, Sam and Arm, for talking. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Just tweet a holla in front of you here. Just talk after work. You want to know? Anybody? Pretend to ask a question. Give me a softball. Give me something here.
Nobody cares.
No one's down.
Neil, I'm not bashful. I got a question for you.
Okay, cool.
Got a car dealership, and we're talking putting QR codes on our sticker leaves for the window. So the I missed that. So the Sunday shopper comes by.
Yeah.
Read about the car. Do you see any value in having a QR code on the label, the price label?
Hang on a second.
No.
Okay. I was saying the same thing after reading that, so
But here's the thing. If you put it on a sticker on a window or something, it doesn't take away from everything else. There's not much harm in it if it works. But here's the deal. I do think the potential is great. I think the potential is great for car dealerships to have just a more respect sheet I can get out of there. Video, more pictures, yeah. But I'm sent for the car, running pictures, same right there. But I also see like real estate, and I see realtors using it all the time. Anybody here in real estate? Anybody here? So I see realtors use it all the time on their for sale signs, and I scan them because I have no life when I do these things. So I go and scan them all, and everyone I've scanned on a sign will go to the generic site of the realtor. And it'll be a site that doesn't work well on a phone, or it's flash-based. Like why? You're taking up this real estate on it. If I was a realtor, right? But I can never be a realtor because I hate people. But you've got to like them first, so you've got to pretend to like them, right? So if I was a realtor using QR codes, what I would do is make a QR code for each property and come to a mobile info site, one page, and say the specs of the home, and then have an ability, one button phone me, one button text me, one button email me, and the story. I've seen one realtor ever do that, one. And I've got a lot of realtors angry in my past few years, and one have done it right. And I've seen a good couple uses. We bought fireworks from Canada today, went to buy them at one of the big party places. It was Kaboom Fireworks, right? And I went in, and one of the only good uses of QR code I ever saw was on the box of the fireworks. And it said, scan here to see the firework. And I'm like, what? And I scan it, and a video that plays on my phone pops up, and it shows how the firework explodes in a video. I'm like, you are the greatest thing ever. And I bought, like, every firework in the store. Because before that, I had to light them in the store just to see if they go off. It's all right. We got a fire extinguisher. It's okay. But see, that's good. So I'm not... You don't have to knock, but if you're going to do them, understand people are scanning them with their phone. It means to be phone friendly, and a huge part of it is not going to have a lot of people using it. And the problem is an agency will sell you on it or something, and they'll sell you on a real high price, when in reality, your usage will be really low. So you've got to have the right medium for them. Will it hurt you? No. It'll look cool. But if I come to your lot, man, and they ain't working right, I'm going to tweet it. And then you're going to be angry. So it's a good, it's an optimal thing. But again, a lot of dealerships using it for the sake of using it. It doesn't work that well. It really doesn't. Especially if I'm already there. I got the info's on the window. But it's all right there for me that I really need, right? So, no, I wouldn't give you. It's some of my personal advice. But anyway, any other great question, though? Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, just curious what your thoughts are on the being involved with, if you're not in social media and your business obviously isn't, what's your thoughts on being, I guess, you don't ever have a chance to respond. Yep. If you're not on Twitter,
yep.
And someone's, well, you're getting, well, wrecked on Twitter,
yep.
You don't have any recourse and you can't be around. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts as far as other social media stuff, you know, Pinterest and Google Plus, if you're not currently there, mm-hmm. Should you spread out?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah.
It's a great question. It's been a couple of questions. What do you do if you're not there? Plus, also, should you try to be everywhere?
And I agree with you that social media is not spreading everywhere.
We're everywhere you are. Yeah. And we are spreading ourselves too thin. I think even us in the industry are spread too thin. We spent a whole freaking day just going from each site, logging and checking it. And it's 7 hours. Like, what happened? You know, my day is over. I don't think you need to be everywhere. I really don't. We all have our personal preferences. I think we have the talent that social media consultants out there will help a brand find their talents and match the right site with them, but also find out where their market is and see where they're talking. So if you're not on Twitter, people complaining on it, you're kind of, you need to get on there. You need to listen. And you got to pick it. I don't want to be everywhere. I spent that time on Twitter. I actually spent really 6 months focusing just Twitter. I'd rather you shut down a couple of sites or put them on hold and build up one. Because I built up Twitter, and then I built up the next one, and then I built up the next one, but it was never at once. Because once I built Twitter, then I could leave it a bit. You saw that graph that went down on the tweets per month afterwards? Because I could take momentum to go. To the point now where I have a lot of momentum. I don't have to reply a lot on Twitter now to get tweets going, but I do still, because I love it, I think that's the point. But I grew it. So I went on Google Plus because I was told I have to, because it's my business. And I don't like it. I don't understand it, actually. I understand how it works. I have 10,000 people circle me. I'm not sure what that means. But 10,000 people circle me, I don't really get it. And I have social media. Like, this is what I do. I'm one of the biggest fanboys you'll find in the country for social, and I don't get it. And Google Plus came out in the summer and said 60% of our users log on daily, and 80% of over 100 million users log in weekly. And I'm like, who the hell's on there? I see the same 7 people on there. They're logging in a lot. And then what I realized was I dug deeper. And that's a really important thing to remember. When you see a stat, dig deeper. We're very, myself included, we're very easy to jump on the headline data, like one stat. Like, oh, God, like Pinterest sends more referral traffic than Google and Facebook and Jesus. And we have to be on there, so let's go. And we run and... I dug deeper on the Google Plus stats, and what really actually the stat was they considered Google Plus a layer, which I think is French for bullshit. And what they meant was, this layer means it's a layer over all Google services. So if you log into Google, if you're logged into actually Google, and you use any of their sites, it counts as a Google Plus login. Yep. If you use Gmail, it counts as Google Plus. If you use one of their other sites, like, I don't know, Google, it counts as a login. If you use YouTube, it counts as you're watching Gangnam Style for the 700th time. That's 700 Google Plus logins for you there, kids. So the stat was actually a lie. But that would persuade brands to have to go to Google Plus. And I heard people say, use Google Plus because it's SEO, search engine optimization friendly. It's really good for search engines. If you're using social media to be good at search engines, you're doing social really wrong. It's like walking to a networking event and only talking in keywords. Real estate, cheap real estate, good homes, Okanagan, salmon, it's cheap real estate, condos, apartments, rentals. Hey, I'm Scott, what do you do? Apartments, real estate, what? Cheap, good rankings, just stop. You know what? My best SEO technique, my best search engine technique for you guys is to create great content. Create great content, people will link to it, people will share it, and that will increase your value and your rankings. So at the end of the day, you look at your demographics, look at your geographics, and find out where they are. And then keep your ear to the ground. Like there are a couple good ways to keep your ear to the ground as social, where you can use listening tools that you pay for, like Radian 6, Expion, Vocus, stuff like that will bring your reports, but sometimes it's price prohibitive for a lot of people. I use Google News Alert. So if you go to news.google.com or google.com/news, there's a thing that says news alert. Click on that, and then put in your company name, or your product name, if it's a unique name, put it in quotes, a phrase, and every day, Google emails me where I've been mentioned. Anywhere on the internet, blogs, Twitter. Facebook's different because Facebook's closed. So unless they're linking you to their update, like their brand page, or they post on your page, you will not see their personal update about it. Twitter's much more open and different that way. So I'll get I won't get a lot of tweets, but because I see them on Twitter, but I get that every day. It's free. It's the best tool in the world to keep your ear to the ground. And plus, you'll find people who blog about you. And I think those are people you want to give a high five back to. Right? I really think so. Same on Twitter. If you're not there and you're like, I don't use it, but your customers are, you're missing the high fives. And there's nothing worse in life than leaving somebody hanging on a high five, right? It makes them look stupid, doesn't it? Like, I remember the first brand that returned the high five to me, and it was 2008. And I wrote about Cirque du Soleil. We were talking about that before. Cirque du Soleil, that I didn't even put at Cirque. I just put that I love Cirque. I love Cirque shows. I've been to 15 of them. I love Cirque. It's amazing shows. And I just put that. I love Cirque shows. Anybody else? And Cirque wrote me back. 5 minutes later, it said, thanks. We love us too. They liked me.
They really liked me.
And that had an effect. Yeah. Right? And if you have customers, and I see that with other authors, including myself, I try to really reply to people. I really try. Because if I'm on a plane for like 14 hours from Istanbul, I miss a lot of tweets. I don't know. Gut problem now, but I dig my own hole because if somebody writes to me and says, I love your book and I miss it, and they say it again, it's a great book and I miss it, what do you think happens? No. They start to resent me. And you get brand resent starting to build in. So if you open that Twitter door and start tweeting, you need to be prepared to reply. Otherwise, you look like you're elitist, you look like you're not listening. So I'd rather you actually take your account away. If you just can't use it right now, just take it off. Delete it, close it, lock it, I don't care what it is, but do not open that door and not stand there, because you're asking for trouble. And you can turn brand fans into brand resent. And I've seen it happen to me, by the way. I've seen people get mad at me. I had a guy from Amsterdam tweet at 2 in the morning my time. I was sleeping. And tweeted, Unmarketing, the first book, Unmarketing is the best business book I've ever read. How great is that? Great, great tweet, right? 3 hours later, 5 a.m., he tweets, Unmarketing is a fraud. Because I didn't reply to him in that 3 hours. I was still sleeping. But that was his thing. I have people tweeting me, and they'll say, I love your book. And I'll tweet back and say, thank you. And then they'll reply back and say, oh, I was just testing to see if you'd reply. Like I'm some sort of monkey. Like I'm dancing for nickels on the pier. They're going to send me some compliments. So it's like tonight. If any of you tweeted tonight, I don't know if my phone actually won't let me get back to a certain number of tweets. I can see like 30 or 40, and then I'm stopped. So if I don't reply to you, thank you for your tweets tonight. I love them. I love them all. But if I don't get back to it, I don't hate you. I fall behind, and it's a stupid spot I put myself in. And I also follow 35,000 people. That was stupid. That was so stupid. If I could go back and change what I did on Twitter back to 08, I would have not followed the original first 34,000 people back. I used an auto program to follow everybody back who followed me. I thought it was being a courtesy. I thought I was being nice. I thought I was out of obligation. It was just stupid. Because I'd get a private message, a DM from everybody who I followed, a lot of people, and they'd write me and say, oh, wow, thanks, Scott, for following me. Especially when I started getting momentum and getting some credibility out there. Like, thank you so much, I'm flattered. Like, I didn't do it. It's a computer that did it, but you're welcome. And the other thing I would stop doing, I should be following 100 people right now, maximum. Because you can't keep up with anyone more than that, really. I should be fine, but now I have a hidden list. I have a private list, which I follow, called my awesome sauce list. And that's who I follow, really. Right? But most of the time, I just read replies anyways. I never really look at anything else. The other thing I would have done differently if I started again was I used to send auto DMs, auto direct messages to anybody who followed up. I know, right? And engagement guy, automated, who hates that, I started doing that. That's why I know I hate it. Because, and I didn't even pitch something in this automated message. All I said was, thanks for following me. How's Twitter treating you? I come from email marketing, and we're autoresponder, that's our base. That's what we do. Sequential autoresponders is what we do. And I said that, and half the replies I got back from people was, is this automated? Yeah. And I wrote back, well, yeah.
But I'm sitting right here. Like, I could have hand-typed it if I wanted to. I'm right here. I've never left the seat.
So I realized it was being inauthentic, both the follow back and the DM. So I stopped them both. And then the problem is it puts brands in a weird spot, too. If you don't follow everybody back, they think you're elitist. And if you do, you can't keep up with anybody. And you get spam accounts. And it shows who you follow, too. You can follow, you know, spam accounts and stock quote accounts you don't want, and porn accounts, and porn stock quotes, and you know, everything, right? Nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, you just maybe don't want to. So it's a tough spot for everybody to be in.
What's your thought on people who auto-respond? Say, oh, thank you for your response, which is clearly bullshit. They haven't
really I think all automation on social is not smart. And that's my opinion. It's just, you know, people who think yes or no. I'm more right or wrong than anybody else. But I don't think automation has any place in social. I think that if you automate social media, it's like sending a mannequin to a networking event. Like, you're there, but you're not there. Right? I don't believe in scheduling. I don't believe in cross-posting. Like Facebook updates going into Twitter. Can you stop that, by the way? Just please stop doing that. Tweets to Facebook and Facebook to Twitter. And it's just annoying as heck. And it gets cut off. And if you have tweets going into Facebook, it has like the @ and the hashtags. And you just look drunk. Like it's like you're hitting the wrong key. Maybe that's your thing. I don't know. But stop it. What it's telling people is if you see a tweet and it's cut off from Facebook and it says via Facebook, what it's telling your followers on Twitter is, I don't have time for you. But you need to have time to read my stuff. But I don't have time to do this. Come on. If you write a blog post, you have 11 seconds to customize the tweet. It's not that important. Just do it. Right? Just write it, customize and put it out on Twitter. You have the 8 seconds. Make it work for the platform. I think it's good. If you're going to send it on LinkedIn, then go on freaking LinkedIn and write it.